Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live every day to address your questions and real-life issues by phone at 1-800-677-9377. So if there's something you'd like to talk about, a great opportunity to call right now. The lines are wide open at 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to stay tuned. Learn how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Our question of the day is this. When did the Christmas story become more than just a story to you? Just some fairy tale that happened out there in Bible land? When did the birth of Jesus Christ become real in your heart? I think that's a significant question. We'd love to talk about it on today's broadcast. This whole story of Christ becoming one of us is such a powerful story. And he did it so that we could experience new life in him, so that we could be restored. I love what Paul wrote in his letter to the Philippians. He kind of retells the story of Christmas, but retells it in slightly a different way. But it's powerful. It really is powerful. And I think we, in reading these words, we get a real sense of what Christ actually did. You know, we see him as this little babe in a manger, and we ooh and ah and want to pinch his cheeks and, you know, all of those sort of things. But it's so much bigger than that. And so in Philippians chapter 2, many of you are familiar with this passage, but it's just one of those passages that you can never read enough. He says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God. That's who Jesus is. He's God. He's always been, as John said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and this Word became flesh. And so he says, who being in very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. This babe that was born in that manger, that babe was God. He condescended to our level so that we could be made new through faith in him. I mean, that is just an amazing thing, that God would love us so much that Jesus would do such a thing. We would never do that. We would never condescend to somebody else's who we thought was lower or not. We don't do that. We're prideful. We're egotistical. But Jesus laid his divinity aside, those prerogatives aside, so that he could become one of us, so that we could experience his life here and now. That's the story of Christmas. When did it become real for you? Yeah. Let's talk about it.
This is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis, and we thank you for joining us. And do let's talk about it. 1-800-677-9377, a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. The lines are pretty much wide open, and we'd love to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go talk to Minnie, who lives in Yonkers, New York, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Minnie.
Hi, Pastor. How are you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you. How are you today?
Very good. Thank you for all you do for Christ and his kingdom.
Well, thank you.
All right. Pastor, I have a question today. You know, I work in an office, and, you know, the office politics and the different personalities and all those stuff. I have this particular coworker. She is a lonely person. She's by herself. I know she doesn't have much family, but she also suffers from bipolar disorder. So she's one day very nice, the next day, you know, like very proud and jealous and, you know, like going after me and complaining and everything. For 2.5 years, it's been very, very hard. Me, you know, every day practicing as a Christian, forgiving so many times. And I'm wondering, maybe there is another way to do it. I don't know how to deal with that person. So maybe I should, like everybody else in the office, just stay away from her. I kind of feel bad. That's not Christ would do. So can you please give me some insight how to deal with such kind of personality?
Well, Minnie, that's a good question. There's lots of folks out there that go from highs to lows, you know, that just ebbs and flows. You know, you don't have any rhyme or reason as to why that happens, you know,
right,
in the manner that it does or the pattern that it does. You just know that it does. And,
right,
you know, there are times when a person like that is very, very nice and kind and positive and everything's wonderful and life is just great. And then, you know, in an instant, it seems like they just plunge to the depths of darkness and depression and despair and those sort of things.
Right.
But I think you just have to deal with a person like that with truth. I think you just speak truth to them. If they're hurting your feeling, I think you just say, hey, you know, that really hurts when you say that. And, you know, I'm tired of dealing with it. So I think you just lay it out there for what it is.
That's a couple of times I did that. And, you know, and she, you know, purposely, my whole thing is I want to be a soul winner. And if I can be any light to that person in the darkness, so I try my best, you know, although I'm a human being, sometimes I'm like, you know, I'm not talking to her anymore. But then I pray, Lord, give me the grace to forgive. And then I go back. But this person complained so much. And then she complained. She went to the HR about me being religious and all those stuff. So it's very hard, you know, like speaking truth to her. I tried that. My question is, should I just keep myself quiet completely, you know, keep myself away from her, or just as incidents, like take it day by day or play it by the ear?
Well, I think you have to take it on a day by day basis, moment by moment basis. But I think
right,
since she's already reported you to HR, that she's made some complaints against you, it would probably
being religious and, you know, I have a Bible that I read at my desk. She doesn't like me hearing Christian music, although it is very, very, very small voice. I can only hear, but she frequently visits my cubicle and hears it. You know, everything bothers her. Let's put it this way. She has a complaint about everybody in the world. So pretty much I'm the only person, you know, talks to her and dealing with her in kindness. But it is so wearing as a Christian person. You know,
yeah,
it is, you know, it's wearing me out, you know.
Well, Minnie, I would suggest two things to you. First, that person's salvation is not on your shoulders. So don't take it upon your shoulders. You just happen to work next to her. If God wants to use you to speak a word of hope, or speak a word of life in Jesus Christ, then open your mouth and speak. But otherwise, entrust her to God. Her salvation is on his shoulders, no one else's. And we simply participate in that. We simply can share in that. So don't take that upon your shoulders, okay?
Thank you so much. That's a good word of advice.
Okay, well, good, Minnie. And the second thing is, you know, just be cautious in the workplace. I think that's an important thing. I think the fact that she's reported you, I think
right,
just waves that flag pretty high, that says, right, you know, be cautious, proceed with caution. You want to be nice to her. I think you speak
right,
the truth. If she hurts your feelings, I think you tell her that. If she's crossing a line as far as her behavior towards you, I think you tell her you've crossed a line. And you have to get back on that other side. Don't be afraid to say those things. Those aren't religious. That's just speaking truth as to the nature of the relationship between the two of you.
So one day my coworker asked me, you know, a person who suicides will go to hell or heaven. So I answered the other person. I said, according to Bible, Jesus said, and also in, you know, in the epistles, I know that it is there that, you know, it is a sin and you won't go to heaven, but I will get you the reference when, you know, maybe tomorrow or something. So she overheard it, And she went and complained that I said a person suicide will go to hell. And it was a big deal, you know, and things like that. And she herself comes and asks me questions from Bible. And I stopped that. Like you said, I am very cautious nowadays. I don't talk to her. One day she came and asked me a question about the Antichrist and, you know, when is he coming, 666 and all this stuff. I said, Lisa, can I please stay away from that question, please? I told her, although I felt bad.
Well, one of the things that you could do in those situations is say, hey, I would love to talk to you about this, but the workplace isn't the right setting. Can we go and have a cup of coffee? Can we meet over lunch where we can freely and openly talk about these things? Because the Bible does have some answers for you. Now, as far, I wanted to jump in on one thing, Minnie, and that's on salvation, what salvation really is. All of us came into this world spiritually separated from God. The Bible describes that as spiritual death. And the reason we are in that condition is because of sin, because of Adam and Eve's sin, and then our own sin. We're dead spiritually. And so that's our problem. And the solution is new life in Jesus Christ. So the only thing that really sends us to hell, so to speak, is our refusal of that new life in Christ. That rejection of Christ is what leads us to the white throne judgment, where we will hear what Christ has to say about that. And we will be cast into the state of eternal death. So rejection of Christ is the only thing that God is going to be interested in as far as judgment is concerned. Now, somebody may commit suicide, and that may be kind of the end result of a life of lived in total rebellion toward God. That may be the case. Or somebody does that. We had a dear sister in Christ who was diagnosed with an illness, and the doctors put her on some type of drug therapy that had as a side effect possible suicide. And that led her to a point where she just took her life. Well, if she was saved, guess what? She's was absent from the body and present with the Lord. So we have to be very careful and say that because of Christ, sins have been dealt with. What remains is this sin of unbelief, this rejection of Jesus. And that can change once we come to know him by faith.
Okay,
Minnie?
Okay, that's an eye-opener. I didn't know that. I mean, I thought, Paul and I think he listed some things. I think I don't remember in First Corinthians. I think.
He listed some things, but all of those things are symptomatic of that deep, heartfelt problem, and that's being separated from God. That's the real issue.
Okay. All righty. Thank you so much, Pastor. Thank you so much for helping me.
You're welcome, Minnie. Thanks for your call today. Great to hear from you.
Nice conversation.
God bless you.
Plenty of open lines and time on the clock. 1-800-677-9377. Again, 1-800-677-9377. This is Basic Gospel, and we're here every day live to address your questions by phone. So give us a call. 1-800-677-9377. Guys, a question from Joe from Windsor, Ontario says, I've been listening to you for some time now, and I'll say that this program is the first time I've heard someone tell me that I don't have to keep short accounts with God and ask for forgiveness. It was a relief to me to hear this. I had had a hard enough time keeping keeping a short account, but let alone being 100% accurate in my account. This spiritual mindset made me a true legalist. However, I do need some clarification on the intent of Christ's words in the Lord's Prayer. Based on the fact that we are forgiven once for all, what did he mean when he said, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors? That's from Job in Ontario, our Windsor, Ontario.
Well, I think that's a great question, and I certainly appreciate his comments. Christ died for our sins. When we receive Christ, we receive forgiveness of sins. there's passage after passage that says that our sins have been forgiven. And where these have been forgiven, there's no longer any sacrifice for sin. In this new covenant, God remembers our sins no more. I mean, these writers of the New Testament just pound that subject.
Yes.
Driving us to a point of being convinced that all sin, past, present, and future, have been forgiven. All sins. And when we come to that and embrace that and rest in it, boy, things change for us. But that takes some time to get to that. And I appreciate his comments and the fact that he's coming to that, realizing that his short accounts do not bring more forgiveness. They don't do anything. Christ's blood shed on the cross brought forgiveness once and for all. So what about this Lord's Prayer? Why did he say, forgive us our debts as we forgive others? Well, I think Jesus was making a point. I think at the end of that, he could say, well, are you out forgiving others? Because that's the basis of forgiveness that he laid out in that prayer. If you're out forgiving others, then you can expect to be forgiven by God. If you're not out forgiving others, then don't expect that. If you don't forgive your brother here on earth, your Father in heaven won't forgive you. Man, that's harsh. That's a harsh statement, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I mean, that's difficult. And so we just interpret that. We read that and say, well, see there, Jesus is saying that we need to ask God for forgiveness. No. It's saying, Lord, please forgive because I'm forgiving others. Well, are you really? Are you forgiving others? And you have to say, no, Lord, I'm not. Well, then how am I going to be forgiven? That's the whole point. And Jesus will say, I'm going to shed my blood once and for all. And when you receive me by faith, you will receive forgiveness of sins. And once you receive that forgiveness, your heart will be changed in such a way that you can actually reach out and forgive others just as I have forgiven you. That's what Paul talked about, both in the book of Colossians and in the book of Ephesians, that we are to forgive others as God in Christ has forgiven us. What's the difference? The cross of Jesus Christ, the cross where Jesus died to take away sins once and for all, to fulfill that old covenant and to usher in a brand new covenant in which God remembers our sins no more. Yeah. That's good news.
Absolutely.
And that is basic gospel. That's where we get so confused because we try to blend the two. We try to blend the old covenant and the new covenant together as one thing. And boy, we rob the law of its judgment and its condemnation, which is why God gave it, to show us our need for Christ. And we rob grace of its mercy. And so we need to leave them for what they are. And when we do, everything just kind of falls into place.
Yes, indeed. Well, you found Basic Gospel. We're glad that you've tuned in today. A little time on the clock, 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go down to Troy, Texas, and talk with Curtis, listening to us on KBBW. Hi, Curtis.
Hey, sir. How are you doing today?
Doing well. How are you?
Oh, I'm a little confused about something. I think I'm confused a little bit. I was reading an article today by Phil Robertson, who did an interview, and they quoted him as saying that you know, gays and lesbians are going to hell because they're living a lifestyle that is not what God intended. But I understand that the only thing that will send you to hell is the rejection of the Son of God.
You're exactly right, Curtis.
Okay. So even though a lifestyle is not the way God wants you or intends you to live, if you accept Christ into your life, I feel that at some point, you know, that acceptance is going to change your heart and you're going to start changing your ways. And it's not an overnight transition. Am I understanding this properly?
Well, Curtis, I think you are. I think you're on the right track there. You know, it just depends. There are some people that come to Christ, and there is a 180-degree turn in their lifestyle. There are others that it takes a little time for changes in attitudes and changes in behavior to really take place. But that's just unique to each person and how God works in each person. But what's true as far as salvation is concerned, the moment a person receives Christ, they go from death to life. They go from being a sinner, lost, dead, to someone who is now a child of God, saved eternally. That's an instantaneous thing. And then God sends His Spirit to take up residence in that person. And God's Spirit will start renewing the mind with truth. And as that mind gets renewed with truth, as that mind gets a deeper understanding of the love of Christ Jesus and just what it means to be forgiven, what it means to be righteous in God's sight, what it means to be a child of God, you're going to see attitudes start to change, and then you'll eventually see actions start to change. That's all this process of growth in God's grace. And so, you know, we want to make these harsh judging statements that, you know, this person is going to hell because of this behavior, of this lifestyle, of this action. And when we do, we're not communicating the real message of the Bible. The message of the Bible is this, that life is available to all. Why is life available? Because we're all dead in sin. We may manifest that in different ways. Somebody may manifest it through sexual immorality. Somebody else may manifest it through greed. Somebody else may manifest it through gossiping and lying and all of those sort of things. Those are the fruits of a dead spiritual heart. But the problem is the dead spiritual heart. And that's where the gospel message is totally relevant to every single person on this planet. Why? Because it actually meets the deepest need that that person has. So we need to communicate that truth, that life is available in Jesus Christ. And regardless of what somebody is going through, they know deep down inside that something's missing, that something is wrong, that they need a Savior. And if you can connect with them at that level, then you will have an opportunity to see this gospel message really connect in a way that brings life to their dead spirits. So, Curtis, I think you're right on.
Okay, thank you, because I'm going to end up having this conversation with a lady I've known for years here as soon as I go back to
Well, Curtis, let me do this. Let me put you on hold. I want to send you a copy of this booklet, The Forgiveness, The Door to Life. It will really help explain the gospel in its full scope, okay? You hang on.
I continue to remind you that we are indeed a listener-supported ministry. It requires financial support to keep the message coming, friends. That's why we offer this little booklet and other resources like the Forgiveness Booklet. Now, here's the fact. We need to see additional donations of around $250,000 come in by the end of this month. And we know that there are many of you out there in the daily audience who are able right now to step up to the plate and hit a home run, to give a gift of $250 or more and never even miss it, really. You know, out of the tens of thousands of you who listen to this broadcast, if only 1,000 of you would make a gift of $250, that would meet our need. Or if 250 of you would make a gift of $1,000 today or by the end of the month, that too would meet our need. Will you be one of those with a gift of $1,000, $500, or $250? We need that kind of support from you right now. We also know that every gift, no matter the size, helps and makes a difference. So please, friends, join with us with a special Christmas time gift today. Give what you can and see God bless your gift. Whatever you can do, we need you to be a part of the ongoing support of Basic Gospel. And as a reminder, the booklet on forgiveness that we've been talking about, it's yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. It's called Forgiveness, The Door to Life. And as a reminder, that booklet, of course, is available to you right now. Call 1-800-727-2828 and speak to our operator and request your copy and make your gift. 1-800-727-2828. Or visit us online at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net for the booklet, Forgiveness, The Door to Life, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and the Basic Gospel staff, I'm Bob Davis, saying God bless you and inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We hope you'll keep the phone number handy and give us a call early. We want to hear from you. See you then. Bye-bye.